Hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard. That's why when it comes to hard work, nothing works harder than a Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Check out a new Silverado at ChevyDriveChicago.com.
Did you watch Mary Poppins last night, Veronica?
I did not.
Veronica?
I know. I put a movie in the DVD player, and it's an old Nicolas Cage movie, and I watched that, which, you know, it's about guns and shooting people, so I probably would have been better off with Mary Poppins.
I would think so.
I couldn't do it because my son just had to be in a Mary Poppins play. Ooh. Not too long ago, and he's still brain damaged from it, I think.
Oh, so you're like up to your neck with supercalifragilistic right now.
The play, honest to goodness, was like 3.5 hours long. It was a high school play. Oh,
I've sat through many of those. I know.
In a bleacher.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I know what you mean.
Ouch.
Like. All right, you're forgiven.
Thank you.
I don't know about the Nicolas Cage part.
I know.
But still. It's such a delightful movie.
It is. Unless it's 3.5 hours long at a high school.
Yeah, I don't think the movie was...
No, I don't know how they stretched it, but they did.
Yeah. I mean, even with commercials, I don't think it was 3.5 hours last night. But so fun to see. Julie Andrews is so amazing. She was 29 years old when she made that film.
Mm-hmm.
Just so beautiful and so talented. And Dick Van Dyke, he was about the same age. Today is Dick Van Dyke's 90th birthday.
Wow.
And he's as spry as could be and active. He had said in an interview a while back that he was going to go to Disneyland for his 90th birthday. So I don't know if he really did that or not.
Why would you subject yourself to that at any age?
I hope that he did. I know. It's the happiest place on earth.
Oh, I don't know. I'm not a big crowds person.
You got to shake off that Nicolas Cage
humbug,
thing you're
huh?
in. Come on. It's I understand where it could be a little annoying, but... he made so many films, with the Disney people. I could see where he has a special place in his heart for them. But I have a special place in my heart for Dick Van Dyke. He's just truly one of the most amazing talents that there is. Gave us so many amazing performances on screen, obviously on television with his Dick Van Dyke show. So, I think we have to just acknowledge. 90 years old. God bless him. Still going strong. The great Dick Van Dyke. And truly what fun it was, I got to say, to see the Mary Poppins film last night.
Eight is Enough. That was my show when I was a kid.
Dick Van Patten?
Is it Dick Van Dyke or Dick Van Patten?
That was Dick Van Patten.
Okay.
That was a different Dick Van.
Too many Dick Vans, yeah.
That was Dick Van Patten.
All right. See, I was a kid. I just remember the Dick Van part.
Oh, this Nicolas Cage thing is
it warped my brain.
Fried your brain.
It did. Right. It was the Lord of War.
We have to... Lord is right. Weekend box office numbers are in. Hunger Games, fourth week in a row, the number one movie, but just barely beating In the Heart of the Sea, the Chris Hemsworth film directed by Ron Howard. That's number two, obviously. The Good Dinosaur, number three. The Rocky film Creed comes in at number four. And Krampus takes the number five spot at the box office. The film that I gave a Dean's List A this weekend is called Danish Girl. It's only in a few theaters. In Chicago, literally, it's only in three theaters, unfortunately. But this is a film that's going to get a lot of attention at Oscar time. It stars Eddie Redmayne, who played Stephen Hawking in The Theory of Everything last year and won an Oscar for it. He is amazing in this film. It's the story of one of the first... gender reassignment surgeries back in the 1920s. A man who felt like he was born into the wrong body. A little bit heartbreaking story of sadness of, a person living a lie, basically, and trying to do something about it. But Eddie Redmayne's amazing. Alicia Vandeker, a Swedish actress, plays his wife in the film. She's amazing. It's a great film, if that's something that you think that you would be interested in. I talked with Eddie Redmayne about the movie, but also how his life has been since that little thing called the Academy Award.
Do you know what? I was making this film during The Danish Girl during the Oscars. So I was a couple of weeks into shooting, and we finished on a Friday night, and my wife and I went over to LA, and it was this utter frenzy for 2 days of excitement and adrenaline and sleeplessness but the second it finished, it went back to London and went straight from the airport to back onto set,
right back to work.
And so actually what was weird is there wasn't really time to take any of it in, and I'm still trying to sort of process it. It doesn't feel real. You have this extraordinary thing that sits at home and it looks fake, and you kind of don't believe it. But it's
you expect
exactly
it to be filled with chocolate inside of it.
Genuinely, you know. Yeah. So I'm still trying to take it in, but it was amazing. Yeah.
Yeah. So what do you make of all the talk of a second Oscar for you?
God, you know,
this time
this film I was first attached to when I was making Les Misérables. And Tom Hooper gave me the script then, and the film itself had been 12 years and they'd been trying to make it, and then eventually I got Theory of Everything, and then after that the green light for the film came about, and it was such a passion project. I mean, producers have been working on it for 15 years that frankly it getting out into the world is a wonderful thing. For both Alicia and I, any buzz and stuff, I hope people see this film because I think it's an important story, and I hope that encourages people to see it if there is buzz.
I remember you completely averting my question about an Oscar for Theory of Everything in much the same way. You actors are so amazing to me that it's just uncomfortable, I guess, to think about it, or you really just want to focus on people seeing the film.
I think so. I mean, I don't think because anything else is that's what the work is. Yeah. You know, that's why you make films, is you don't.
Do you see it as that this was a really courageous role?
No.
For you to take?
Not at all. I felt it was a privilege. There was nothing. I mean, she's the courageous woman, Lily Elba, and I felt when I read her story, it was nothing but a privilege at getting to the opportunity to play her.
Did you feel like you had to do a more prep than usual to really get it right? There was such, you know, there had to be just the perfect line, which I think that you walked perfectly, by the way. But do you know what I mean?
I think the potential for going over the top could have been absolutely
there.
Right. And when I was prepping the role and meeting trans women and members of the community, you became absolutely aware of how important Lily's story is, and the stakes feel high because you don't want to be you don't want to screw it up. But it does galvanize you. It was not dissimilar when I was playing Stephen, knowing Stephen was going to see the film. Of course, Lily's no longer alive, but I feel that her memory is, and it's an incredibly strong and powerful one. It's iconic within the trans community, so I felt that judgment would be pretty scrutinized, or there'd be a great scrutiny. Yeah. So that's all of that. I mean, I'm slightly driven by fear, so that always makes you work harder, I think.
I guess so. There are so many emotional moments as the viewer watching this that touch your heart so much. I wonder, were there certain moments of this that were more personally emotional and touching for you to portray?
I think the bits that I suppose the bit that I found really, I think Alicia Vikander is so extraordinary in this film, and there's a bit where Lily and Gerda are in bed together, divided by a curtain, and Gerda says, we were married not long ago, and Lily goes, no, that was you and I now, and she goes, I know it was, but actually it was you and me. And in this time when Lily had no language, that there were no predecessors, there were the notion of what she was going through, she was having to navigate unaided, but that Gerda saw her for who she was, I found very moving. And I thought Alicia's performance it was so touching in that one.
Yeah, it's interesting that you said that this has been in the work for 12 years because people will think that this film is coming out on the heels of Caitlyn Jenner and, you know, that one is riding on the back of another. It's just really coincidence, isn't
it? It's total chance, but it's, I hope, for us it feels wonderful because this film, for me, from when I was given the script when making Les Miserables a few years ago, that the discussion was not in the mainstream, and the education that I had prepping for the film, I feel like the world is also now beginning to have. Yeah. And I think it's so important that as cisgender people, we educate ourselves and learn, or try and learn, to be allies to trans people, because there is still so much progress that needs to be made. But what is, I hope the film does, is just helps continue that discussion in some small way, because I think it's a really vital one. It is a civil rights movement.
The movie is called The Danish Girls. It's at select theaters around the Chicago area right now. Eddie Redmayne definitely is going to be nominated for an Oscar. He was for a Golden Globe and Screen Actors Guild this week, so we'll see how all that plays out. Food Time Show is coming up next. Food as Gifts today, next on WGN.